Good afternoon, good evening. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Brendan Cunningham talking about real estate because real estate is cool. We got the sounds of Boney James in the background playing his album, Stop, Look, and Listen. So that's a good time for you to stop, look, and listen right now. Just we're going to talk about things that are kind of important to you. And, although they might be important if you're going to buy or sell real estate. If not, you can still hang in. You can even call and be a guest. Call in at 563-999-3066. That's area code 563-999-3066. And you are live and in color and on, in cyberspace. So you can give us a buzz either way. But let's talk about some things that are important. Home inspections. Should you get one? Should you not get one? You're hearing all kinds of things going on out there. People waiving home inspections. In point of fact, people are waiving home inspections in leaps and bounds these days because in a highly competitive market, seller wants to see the cleanest offers for the highest and best, and he doesn't want to monkey around with somebody that's saying, well, I want to buy your house, but I want to have somebody take a second look. So this is how we handle it. We mean agents that are smart and get it, okay? The home inspection process has changed dramatically over the years, especially since I've been around. In the olden days, you didn't really have home inspectors. If you needed somebody to give you a second opinion, you might call in an engineer. And in fact, I had an engineer do an engineer's report on the very first building that I bought. But that's a whole other story. It's evolved tremendously. It used to be that I would tell people that, you know, all you needed was a business card to really be a home inspector. And that was almost true because you didn't even need to have a business card. Anybody could have called themselves a home inspector. Now it's regulated. Now we have special training that home inspectors have to take. And in general, it's a good thing. So this is what I tell people, okay? Tune in. You're going to get the absolute gospel truth about the do's and don'ts on home inspections. I look and I say, listen, you need a home inspection? I recommend that every person buying a house should hire one. Let me say it again. I recommend that every person buying a house should hire one with one caveat. If, in fact, you think you need one. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you're a builder, if you're a contractor, if you've bought a million houses before, and you know what to look for, why would you go out and spend an extra $500 or so for somebody to give you a second opinion that you don't really need? It's only going to hold things up. In a perfect world, if you were going to have a home inspector come in and look at your property, what you would want to do is you'd want to have the home inspector do the inspection before, underline the word before, you put an offer in. This way, the seller is confident that you know what you're buying, you're confident you know what you're getting, normal wear and tear provided. And here's the big giant rose in the bouquet. It's a good analogy. I like that. Now, because you've done the home inspection, you put the offer in, it's not subject to the home inspection. You don't have to have a second opinion because you already got the second opinion. Why people can't get that, I don't know. They want to make it subject to. They want to make their problem, their doubts. They want to make those problems, the seller's problems. And the seller says, I don't think so. I don't have to do that because I got 10 other guys lined up that don't want to do that. So understand, that's really the most important thing. The second thing is, if you're going to hire an inspector, make sure they're licensed. And then a good inspector might be a member of the National Association of Home Inspectors, the self-governing body of better home inspectors that are responsible for policing its own. There's also another thing called the American Society of Home Inspectors, ASHI. There's ASHI and there's NASHI. It's sort of like the NFL, where you have the AFC and the NFC. They're all good teams, okay? And who wins one year versus another is really up for debate and grabs. But they should be members of a larger organization. It's kind of like realtors. We're a member of a larger organization. We're not just real estate agents. We belong to, well, in my case, and by the way, for the record, the National Association of Realtors, which is the largest trade group in the world, I think it's about 1.5 million people right now. They're made up of a number of different agencies from around the country, and not every agency is a member of that group. Probably another, maybe two or three times that amount. I don't even know the number of people that aren't actually realtors. probably worth looking up, I suppose. But I know I'm a realtor, and as such, I ascribe to a higher level of ethics. I just have to, because otherwise they throw me out. I'm a member of the National Association of Realtors, the New York State Association of Realtors, the Buffalo Niagara Association of Realtors, and real estate tends to be coolest in areas where you have a realtor working for you. I'm big on the realtor thing. But let's talk about, look, if we gave you the do's, you know, you should have somebody that's a credible home inspector. So let's talk about some of the don'ts. And God, there are a lot of don'ts. Well, at least 10 of them. Let me give you some of them. All right, here's one of the things. Don't. Underline this one. Don't pick an inspector who's willing to do the repair himself or suggest others for the job. It's a clear conflict of interest, and that can lead someone into feathering his own nest. That's not a cool thing. Now, what an inspector might say is, well, here's the deal. The roof is normally, it should be good for 25, 30 years. It looks like it's about 10 or 15. You should be good to go, but in the event that you need a roof, there's a lot of good roofers out there. Talk to one. What he shouldn't say is, and by the way, My brother-in-law, he's a roofer, and he could take good care of you. You know what I mean? He put the roof on, actually right on top of the house instead of in the basement. Yeah, so there's a conflict there. So understand, they can observe, they can make comments, but they shouldn't say, yeah, and I'll take care of it for you. That's not a thing. It is not a thing. Next, don't pick a home inspector based on price. You buy cheap, you get cheap. You get something for nothing, it's probably worth just about that, frankly. The range on home inspectors is all over the board now. And people now, because fewer people are using home inspectors, now you're starting to see people having sales and discounts, and they're going to do whatever they can do to sustain themselves. But, yeah, there's fewer people that are actually out there doing the home inspections, so you may have some price sway out there. Just to put this in perspective for you, we've actually had to design a form because of rising incidents of lawsuits where people have waived their right to a home inspection, and then they're in the house for 3 or 4 months, and they said, this is broken, this is broken, this is broken, this is broken, and then they want to sue people and go back and say, well, and typically the seller's response or the agent's response is, well, you waived your right to a home inspection. You said you didn't want to do this. You said you knew what you want. Oh, yeah. So we're now into a whole other, you know, one of those wonderful things that lawyers love, that gray area. So in an effort to sort of head the bad guys off at the pass, we've actually created a form that says, here's the deal. You understand what you're doing, and you're waiving your right to a home inspection. End of story. Now, once you've done that, if you want to come back and say, well, I didn't realize, you know, it really shows really bad faith on your part. And if it has to go to court, it probably won't. People say, well, let me get this straight. You waived your right to a home inspection verbally, and then you signed a form. And now you're coming back. Stop. At some point, you have to take ownership. At some point, it does become caveat emptor. And at some point, you really should have realized you aren't buying a perfect thing anyway. There's no such thing as a perfect house. You can build the best, most expensive house in the universe, and I guarantee you, after it's up, you're going to probably come back after about a week and say, you know what? I really should have put the bathroom that way. I really should have put the door swinging this way. I really should. You're always going to come up with stuff, and that's just on design features. But yeah, you know, even with a brand new house, there's a certain amount of settling that occurs, which is why typically when you buy a brand new house, before you close, they give you what they call a punch list to, you know, see the little quirks that have happened between the time that they put the for sale sign in the ground and the time that you actually close. Pretty simple. Here, number 3, don't pick an inspector who doesn't maintain errors and omissions insurance. Did you know there was such a thing? And if an inspector screws up and the house doesn't in fact need an entirely new basin that you hadn't budgeted for, it's nice to know that somebody might have you covered with the right kind of errors and omissions insurance. You can be covered. Now, when I talk about home inspectors' errors and omissions insurance, you have to understand something. A lot of them do have it. I don't want to say it's not worth the paper that the policy is written on, but in many respects, it will only cover you for the cost of the inspection. So if you know, you did the inspection, you paid $500 or whatever it is, and the basement floods the first night that you're there, and you can say, well, you didn't tell me there's a big crack in the basement. Well, he's not going to give you a new basement. He's going to say, well, can I give you a $500 back? And you're not going to get a new basement for that price. So if, in fact, you want to check, and you should, do you have errors and omissions insurance, Mr. Inspector? And they say, yes. Say, what does it cover? Does it cover just the cost of my fee, or does it actually cover things that go wrong? If it doesn't cover things that go wrong, I would say move on. There's a lot of inspectors out there that can actually do the right thing for you and get it done. Now, this is a big one. This is a big don't. Don't panic when you see the report. Discuss the findings or the concerns that the report cites. These reports, by their very nature, make every house sound like they're about to fall down. Any inspector who's worth their fee should be more than willing to explain whatever they may have popped up in the inspection and however it translates on the report. I was amazed the first time I looked at a home inspection report, because I was actually on the inspection, and I looked and I said, is this the same house? I don't remember seeing that. I remember seeing it. You saw that? You always want to not panic when you see that thing, because, if they told you everything was perfect in the house, you would probably say to yourself, well, what the hell did I pay this guy $500 for? I'm paying him to find things. Now, one of the reasons why you don't have a lot of the same number or percentage of inspections being done today is there were a couple of inspectors that came through Western New York for sure, and they were members of national franchises, so I'm going to make the presumption that they were all trained the same way. There were a number of inspectors that came through, and they said, the reason why you want to work with me is because I guarantee I'm going to find a minimum of 21 items or 17 items. They picked a crazy number. I'm going to find the minimum numbers of this thing, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to leverage this report so that you can go back to the seller and maybe get some money at the price. Mr. and Mrs. Listener out there, anyone that's listening out there, that was never, ever, ever, underscore the word never, ever, it was never the purpose of what a home inspection was supposed to do. It wasn't to renegotiate the deal. That's why people don't want to play with people that have home inspections. Not because they're hiding anything. It's like, negotiate with me in good faith, come up with a price, and then we're in agreement. But don't negotiate with good faith, which is not such good faith, then go out and have an inspector, and then try and knock $10,000 off the price. That's not cool. They don't want to do that anymore. And frankly, I wouldn't do it either. So don't panic when you see the report and understand what the purpose of the inspection was to begin with. Purpose of the inspection is to make sure the property is in the condition that's good enough for you to accept normal wear and tear provided, with the number of repairs that will be due either day one or day 2 years. You just want to know what you're getting into. That's all. It's not for them to fix everything and make it perfect. And there's some people that think that, and that's insanity as far as I'm concerned. All right. Don't be afraid. Number five, don't be afraid to compare a shop for fees versus service. A lot of inspectors do different things. Some people will throw in different, I don't know, they'll throw in a mold remediation test. They might throw in a radon test. They might, although the radon tests are getting a little pricey. They're tending not to do that as much. They might say, and I'll come back and after repairs and done, I'll do a second inspection, some things like that. But look to see what they can offer you. Now, speaking of radon, don't forget the radon inspection. It's a separate inspection, and you know it can run you, these days it runs about $175. I can remember when it was $35. Most relocation companies insist that the home have a separate radon inspection. In fact, I don't know of any that don't. Now bear in mind, the magic number in the United States, as I like to tell people, as opposed to Canada, the magic number in the United States is 4. 4 picocuries per million, whatever a picocurie is. I don't know. I can't see it. It's invisible. Oddly enough, Canada. My Canadian friends who are literally, I mean, I could, as the crow flies, Canada would be about maybe 3 miles from my house. Okay? To drive there would probably take me about 20 minutes, just because you got to take the roads and the bridges and all that stuff. And I love Canada. And the Canadians love us, and we love the Canadians. It's just it's a wonderful country. And we were really sucking wind there for like almost 2 years with the border being closed, and we couldn't get across. A lot of times people couldn't get across to see their families. We have a lot of people go back and forth. One of my favorite towns, Niagara-on-the-Lake, we couldn't go there for almost 2 years. Bad. But now we can. Now it's wide open. Thank God. So with the respect of radon, if you're going to have an inspection, then have a radon inspection. And if you want to waive it, then fine. Here's the thing. Sometimes people do waive the radon inspection because they look at the charts. And there's charts on this. You can call the EPA and say, what's radon like in my geographical area? Now, you have to understand something. Radon changes every day, every minute. So you can get a radon reading of 1 today at your house, and it could be 3 or 4 tomorrow. So they always give you an average reading. The Canadians, as I started to say, they're able to – I think they're down to 10 now, but it used to be they were up to 16 picocures. So they were like 4 times hardier than we are. But, yeah, they're up to 10. They're still like 2.5 times hardier than we are. And the fix on radon is really sort of funny. It's pretty simple. The actual parts probably cost about $50. It's a couple of tubes. And it runs up the side of your house or inside of your house. You can have it go up from the basement. And there's a little fan at the top, and it sucks out whatever the radon might be coming up from the ground, because it comes from the ground. Okay. Oddly enough, I was told once by a radon remediation person, he says, if you just cap your sump pump, you can probably eliminate 90% of the issue, because that's where it's probably – because the sump pump is an open hole. That's where things are coming from. And if you look at radon, one of the things that's bizarre about radon is brand new houses usually do worse than older houses. Why? Because older houses are drafty. Older houses, the windows aren't tight. And there's lots of places for the radon actually to get out. A house contains radon, okay? And a tight house contains it better. So if it's containing it better, it gives you the opportunity to breathe it more, and that's not a good thing because it's actually a radioactive particle. But, yeah, so don't forget the radon inspection if you think that you need one and you're able to get away with it. Now, don't use an inspector who can't do the job right away. Here's the thing. Sometimes people say, well, I need at least 10 days to get a home inspector in there. No, you don't. And if you try and pull that with a smart agent or smart cell, they say, no, you don't. Go out and get a home inspector. Just because you want Johnny to do it, fine. I'm not going to wait 10 days. I'm not effectively going to take my house off the market for 10 days while we're waiting for Johnny to come in here. There's a million home inspectors. I just get one. I mean, they literally bang down our doors 3 times a week. Different guys come in. Can I do a meeting for you? I'm a new home inspector. So there's home inspectors out there. Just because you can't get Johnny, go get Fred, go get Mike, go get whatever they are. I tend to use mostly men's names because there's not a lot of women that do it. There's 2 or 3 that I know, but that's about it. It seems to be a male-dominated thing. Much like appraisers. I never understood that. Don't be afraid. Here's another don't. Don't be afraid to ask questions during the actual inspection. That's the perfect time to ask. You're actually helping the inspector do his job better if you ask questions as the process is occurring. Here's the thing. When you're having your home inspection done, you should be there. When I say you, I'm talking about the buyers. The seller usually isn't around because he doesn't want to listen to his house being tormented and picked apart. Doesn't want that. The agent working with the buyer should absolutely positively be there, and the principals of, I mean, not the seller and the buyer, but just about, they should be there. Absolutely. If you're going to send a home inspection and not be there for the home inspection, I think not only are you doing a disservice, but you're gypping yourself, because it's the ultimate education that you are going to get on your house. Most people couldn't tell you where the water main in the house is. Well, if you go with a home inspector and inspect the house, you're going to know where the water main is. You're going to know where the circuit breakers are. You're going to know what the circuit breakers do. He's going to give you a lesson on your house. It's invaluable time and an invaluable experience. And if you're not going to be there, the only thing you're going to get is that awful report that I said. And sometimes it doesn't look like the same house. You're going to misinterpret the information. You may even say, well, I'm not going to buy this house. It's falling down. It's not falling down. You just weren't there for the inspection for him to explain what this meant. So when you read the word, normally a roof should get 25 to 30 years. This house has a 15-year-old roof. What you're not going to say, oh, my God, I probably only have 5 years left. No, no one ever said that. So, yeah, imperative that you are there. And by the way, when I say you, I don't mean your family. Unless their names are going on the deed, they're not getting their butts, or they shouldn't get their butts in that basement. So if you're married, it's you and your spouse. That's what it is. And by the way, you should both be there so you can discuss it.
if you want to say, let's send the wife along. No, that's not a thing. Not a thing. If the wife is going, then the husband should be there. The husband's going to be there, the wife's. Everyone should be on the same page. No one is in the dark here.
Absolutely. And when I say, if the agent doesn't show up, he's a bad agent. You should fire that friggin' agent. What do you think of that? I put it right out there. He should be there. That's an important part of the process. Extremely important part. Okay. Now, don't be surprised. Here's another big don't. Don't be surprised if the inspector doesn't put holes in the walls to see what's behind them. You know why? Because destruction of the property is not in the rule book. In most instances, the inspectors will make visual inspections of what he can see, but he's not going to be making visual inspections of what he can't see. You can see the same things too, by the way. It's just that his expertise helps him or her make more meaningful interpretations. Inspector may not actually go on the roof either, by the way. That's another thing. A lot of things, oh, they're going to be bouncing on the roof. A lot of sellers don't want anyone walking on the roof for liability purposes, and I can't blame them. So a lot of times you can ask a question. They sometimes get a little squirrely on the answer when you say, will you actually go on the roof? Some say, oh, yeah, I actually go on the roof. And then you find that they don't. They say, oh, I guess I can't go up there. I forgot my ladder. I did this. A lot of them will actually look at the roof. And frankly, you can do an inspection on a roof by looking with binoculars and looking at – there's only so many things that you really need to look at with a roof. Do you have curling shingles? What does the flashing look like? You can do that. You can do that from the ground as far as I'm concerned. Does walking help you? Well, I guess it gives you the bird's eye view. But like as I said, many inspectors won't do it because they don't want to fall. And many homeowners won't allow it because they don't want to assume the liability. And I cannot blame them for that. So, yeah, don't be shocked when they don't put holes in the walls, just look behind the walls. And that's not a thing. And don't be shocked when they're not actually going on the roof. Okay. Here's a last little nugget just for the time being. I'm sure there's another 20 I could go through, but I don't want to bore you about home inspectors because, you know, you hear about home inspectors a lot. Don't take the inspector's findings as absolute or gospel. Please don't do that. All you have to remember is that you're getting someone else's opinion. That's all it is, nothing more. Now, granted, you're hoping his opinion's probably better than yours, and it better be, otherwise I don't know why the hell you're hiring him or her, but it should be worth whatever he's charging you, and nothing more than an opinion. It's an opinion. A lot of what real estate practitioners do is we offer opinions. If you go out and you hire an appraiser and you do what they call a fee-paid appraisal, you're actually paying money for this opinion. But one of my least favorite expressions, at the end of the day, it's an opinion. Now, his opinion is probably worth more than your opinion because you paid him for it. And it's probably worth more because he's got training and he's looked at a gazillion different houses and he's got reports and he knows about comparable properties and square footage and similar homes. So his expertise in that area is that much more than yours. So his opinion, I think, does have more weight. You can ask a real estate agent to give you an opinion on value, and they can do that. Frequently, they do what they call a CMA. Some agents will interpret those letters as competitive market analysis, and some of them will offer it as a comparative market analysis. They're slightly different, but the goal is the same, is to give you a price that the house will sell for. They want to project into the future, okay? And again, it's not an exact science by any stretch of the imagination, especially since we're seeing properties going 10, 20, 30, 40% over the asking price. So we say, well, how good was their opinion? Well, their opinion was actually pretty good for that particular minute that they gave it to. But oddly enough, the market's changed, can change so fast and so much that their opinion becomes less weighty as time goes by. So, you know, I mean, things change. So understand that. I mean, so their opinions. Your attorney has an opinion. Your doctor has an opinion. I mean, that's why they call – I always thought this was interesting. That's why attorneys and doctors call what they do – they call it their practice. Sometimes they call it their profession, but they actually say, oh, I have a practice. I have a medical practice. I have a dental practice. It's – they're giving their opinions, and their opinions can change over time. I can remember reading – I sounded like a genius when I was in high school biology. I can remember
had a babysitting job. And I was doing my homework. And somebody said, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing my biology homework. And they said, well, what are you learning? I said, well, we're learning about the theory of preformation and epigenesis. Oh, what the hell does that mean? Well, preformation and epigenesis were the two theories of how people were born or species were born. And preformation actually showed you a sperm cell and there was a little baby inside there, all wrapped up. He was preformed. And then when he went into the egg, he burst out of the sperm and he was already preformed and he just kind of grew. Well, we know today that that's not how it works. And the theory of epigenesis was actually more to the point. But we've also learned, and it's one of the reasons why there's such a hullabaloo on the abortion issue today, is when they passed the Roe v. Wade rule back in the 70s, they didn't know an awful lot about pregnancy. Yes, Life magazine had some of the wonderful photographs of children in utero, babies in utero, but we didn't know as much about it then as we do today. And now we know that babies can be viable way before this 37th and 38th week, way before. I know that for a fact with my daughter because she was born 71 days early, so she was at 28 weeks. She was nearly 10 weeks early. Granted, she was 2.5 pounds, 2.6 to be exact, so not even 2.5. And it was the longest 71 days of intensive care that I can remember. Happily, it's 35 years later, she's an attorney, she's doing real well. But we know just more about it. So your opinions can change depending on the amount of information that you have. So that's my little pontification for today about home inspections. That's my pontification about opinions. Everyone's got one. Some opinions come from people whose opinions are worth more. That should be your big takeaway for today's session about real estate is cool, as far as I know. I always say that because I'm the staff over here at Husfar Real Estate, greatest little real estate in Western New York. And I say that unequivocally. We've been nominated for the Ethics Award as well as already having secured one of the best places to work awards in Western New York, not just real estate companies, but best places to work. Yeah, this is a cool place. Real estate is extra cool at Husfar Real Estate. So, want to know about home inspections? You now know what to do, what not to do. The don't-dos are really kind of important. And everyone seems to want to forget the don't-dos. And, well, at least they remember the do's of the don'ts, which is always good. Tune in next week. And we may have some extra big surprises to announce for you for next week. And we're into June. But hopefully you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And I say wonderful because you got to have the privilege of realizing the American dream. Even if you're just renting, you're living in a safe place. Okay? Not a lot of people can say that. And that's one of these where we have a gazillion, that's my favorite word, immigrants trying to get in, breaking through our southern borders right now. Because they want to have the peace of the American dream, which is to sleep in a comfortable bed, maybe own a place that they can call their own, or at least have a place that's safe enough where they don't have to worry about their children. So, all of that being said, thank you for having hopefully a good day off with Memorial Day. Hopefully you had hot dogs and hamburgers and help us celebrate the American dream the way it best should be celebrated. So, all of that is good. Hopefully you're good, and you will be tuning in to see us next week. In the meantime, I'm Brendan Cunningham saying tune in. Maybe you'll have Boney James speaking to you straight from the heart next week as well. Thanks for listening.
My brother.
Hey, buddy.
I might already ask you this, but does a bank certified check work for an EMD instead of a personal check? Because like the one kid I have doesn't have a checkbook.
Sure. It doesn't have, well, he doesn't have a personal check and he doesn't give you a money order. And specifically, don't use money orders.
Don't use money orders.
And let me tell you why. If you use a money order for earnest money deposit, and the deal doesn't go through,
mm-hmm.
it takes them 90 days to get their money back.
Oh.
They're not happy.
Yeah, no.
And they're pissed because you told them to do it.
Uh-huh. But a bank deposit, a bank certified.
A bank certified check, which is
basically, basically the same thing.
It's more than that.
It's guaranteed.
It's guaranteed. It's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's overkill, but it works.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But if he doesn't have his own, why doesn't he have a?
He's 22 years old.
Open an account.
He just hasn't ever printed checks. I don't have a checkbook. I still
need
the check.
Do you have a checking account?
I have a checking account.
Well, then you can get a check from your bank.
Oh, okay.
You can get a bank check.
That's what he got.
Oh, a bank check. It's not
bank
certified.
Check. I didn't know. Well, he said bank check, and I didn't know what bank
that
check.
Works. That
bank
works.
Bank check's the same shit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. So you have an account, but you don't have checks yet.
I don't have any checks. Never.
When are they coming?
I don't.
You didn't ask for them?
I don't even know. I didn't answer them. So maybe you don't use checks? I don't use checks. I've never needed one. Well, I needed one for the sign here, but they just took it out of my deal. So.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't use a lot of checks.
Yeah.
But I always carry two in my pocket. Always.
Okay.
Because you never know when you might need one, and they don't take cards, and they don't do shit.
Yeah.
So it gets you out, man.
Check gets you out. Appreciate it.
You don't even have that money in the account. You can just say, I'll give you a check. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, a lot of times people run out and they get certified checks. It's like going to hunt for rabbits with a friggin' nuclear bomb. You're going to get it.
Yeah, like you're
good. You killed everything else in the meantime. Yeah, the only time they have to be certified is when you go to closing. They want certified checks.
Mm-hmm.
But they will take some checks that are personal, and your attorney will tell you which ones are which.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But for earnest money deposits, they can be regular checks. They can be any kind of checks. They can be money orders, but tell them not to do the money.
That's the worst.
Well, it used to be people used to use money orders, you know. But when you use them on real estate transactions and it doesn't go through, it's 90 days to get it back. They are not happy because especially if you're doing a good job, you're getting a big earnest money deposit.
Yeah.
So if I have a money order for like $5,000 or $10,000 out there,
exactly.
And I can't get my $5,000 or $10,000. Hey, what's that guy's name? I really don't like that guy.
Really never want to work
with. Yeah, you're done. You're toast.
You already got the bank check. I was just making sure.
Yeah, you're good. All good. What are you selling now?
What I'm selling is actually my Sheldon.
How much?
220, 222.5.
Where are you?
Where am I?
Yeah.
Where are that?
What's your price?
No, we went.
Oh, you already bought it?
Yeah, it was at 210.
Oh, okay. So you paid 12 over.
12 over.
Not bad.
Well, I think it will. I think it was fine.
You know what? Let me tell you something. If you have an appraisal problem, you'll be the first person to come in with an appraisal problem, and I can remember.
I'll be the first one.
And that I can remember.
Mm.
And that doesn't make sense.
I had one on my listing.
You didn't appraise?
My first listing.
It didn't appraise?
$10,000 under. She just had to get a gift from her mom.
Well, you're the guy that proves the point. Yeah,
how often, right?
Doesn't happen very often.
Exactly.
And it should, because everyone's selling crazy numbers these days. You'd expect it to happen.
You think it should happen more?
Huh? It should happen more.
I agree.
It doesn't.
I agree.
All right, it's open. Neurologists are stunned. They confirmed that ear ringing is shrinking your brain cells.
Ok ragazzi, oggi un altro video che amerete, ovvero molto richiesto la differenza tra andare e venire. E ragazzi, l'obiettivo è di prenderla oggi in un modo divertente, perché diciamoci la verità, queste cose possono diventare facilmente pallose. Cosa vuol dire pallose? Vuol dire, noi abbiamo questo modo di dire in italiano, quando una cosa è pallosa, è una cosa noiosa, molto noiosa. E lo so che molti di voi amano queste cose grammaticali, divertenti anche per me e per chi non ama, non è appassionato magari di queste differenze un po' più teoriche, ma che possono essere, attenzione, molto utili, perché a volte avere una piccola spiegazione in una lingua che stai imparando ti fa notare le cose più velocemente, più facilmente, e quando tu ascolti la lingua poi dici, ah, è per quello che è così, eh? E quindi assimili anche più velocemente il modo di usarla, ok? Anche se la chiave è sempre, mi raccomando, l'ascolto e la ripetizione, ok? Quella rimane la chiave, l'ascolto della lingua vera, e vedi questi video come qualcosa di divertente, carino da ascoltare per capire, ma non cercare di memorizzare le spiegazioni, altrimenti il tuo cervello dirà, aspetta, cosa andare, io vado là, io torno qua, venire, io vengo qui, vado lì, ma non vengo di là, e lui viene, ma non viene, lui va, ma non va, e non capisci più una mazza, non capire una mazza significa non capisci più niente, il tuo cervello comincerà a odiare questi video. Mio obiettivo e queste spiegazioni, ed è per questo che dobbiamo renderla una cosa leggera, piacevole, divertente, relax, che nella vita ci sono già tante cose difficili, quindi iniziamo con l'argomento di oggi, andare versus venire.
There's no better thing in the world to save your own bread to your family and your friends. Be so proud. You might find baking for the first time a bit daunting, like a big jigsaw. But we can put the pieces together and bake together. I teach from total beginner to 3 Michelin star chef. I'm going to fold the dough over my thumb there and bring all the corner in. Cut, open. Over the years, I've learned so many tips and tricks, and so many techniques. I really, really want to share them all with you.
E prima di iniziare ti ricordo anche che c'è un quiz che potrai fare esattamente su questo discorso di andare e venire. Ti aiuterà a capire quanto hai capito delle spiegazioni di oggi. Fallo divertendoti senza pensare a devo fare tutto in modo giusto, corretto, no. Fallo divertendoti per curiosità e per per vedere quanto hai capito, quanto già sai usare, andare e venire, ma tutto qui, ok? Vedilo come un gioco. Detto ciò, possiamo iniziare. E io, come sempre, seguirò le spiegazioni che ci siamo preparati qua per rendere tutto il più chiaro possibile. Allora, iniziamo. I verbi andare e venire sono dei verbi molto, molto utili in italiano. Per capire la differenza tra questi due verbi, viene bene l'uso. Il verbo andare si usa per indicare movimento verso un luogo in cui non è presente il nostro interlocutore, cioè la persona con cui stiamo parlando. Invece, il verbo venire è il contrario, quindi indica il movimento verso un luogo in cui è presente o sarà presente anche la persona con cui stiamo parlando. Quindi, detto così, potrebbe creare molta confusione, perché ovviamente non è chiara la cosa. Vi sarà chiara dopo le spiegazioni che arrivano adesso, dopo gli esempi che vediamo adesso insieme. Quindi, se non hai capito, tranquillo, è normalissimo non aver ancora capito bene. Ecco ragazzi, allora, adesso cominciamo con un esempio usando andare. Io e mia moglie andremo in Sardegna quest'estate. Ragioniamo qua un attimo su questo discorso. Io sono al telefono con mia mamma è a Brescia, e le dico: ciao mamma, io e Isa andremo in Sardegna quest'estate. Qui uso andremo perché praticamente noi stiamo andando in Sardegna e mia mamma non si trova in Sardegna, ok? Io in questo momento mi trovo in Romania, per esempio, e io dalla Romania andrò in Sardegna con Isa. Riprendiamo l'esempio che ho fatto prima. Il verbo andare si usa per indicare il movimento verso un luogo in cui non è presente la persona con cui stiamo parlando. Quindi mia mamma non sarà in Sardegna, ok? Non sarà in Sardegna. Se mia mamma fosse in Sardegna, allora al telefono gli direi: io e Isa verremo a trovarti in Sardegna quest'estate. Qua useremo il verbo venire perché mia mamma si trova in Sardegna. Quindi, ciao mamma, io e Isa verremo a trovarti in Sardegna quest'estate. Perché il verbo venire, invece, come dicevamo all'inizio, indica il movimento verso un luogo in cui è presente o sarà presente anche la persona con cui stiamo parlando. Quindi se mia mamma sarà anche lei in Sardegna, noi possiamo usare venire. Quindi continuiamo con alcuni esempi riguardo invece al verbo venire e poi torniamo a andare. Il verbo venire, ricordati che assume il significato di muoversi e recarsi nel luogo dove si trova o si troverà la persona con cui si parla. Per esempio, se parliamo con un nostro amico che vive a Milano e noi tra 4 giorni andiamo a Milano, possiamo dirgli al telefono:
there's one simple hearing hack anyone can use to improve their hearing almost overnight. Did you know that hearing impairments have nothing to do with your ears? The ears are nothing more than a microphone to the part of the brain responsible for your hearing.
O scrivendogli: vengo a Milano, vengo a Milano, vengo a Milano a trovarti questo fine settimana. Il mio amico è a Milano al telefono, dall'altro lato del telefono c'è il mio amico a Milano. Io sono qua, Romania, Brasile o ovunque sia, e io gli dico: io verrò a trovarti, perché è una cosa che farò fine settimana, io verrò a trovarti a Milano questo fine settimana. Io verrò a trovarti questo fine settimana. Quindi usiamo il futuro, perché è un'azione futura, quindi io verrò a trovarti questo fine settimana. Oppure mettiamo il caso che ho un amico che chiede di andare al parco con lui domani. Io gli posso dire al telefono, parlando con lui: sì, va bene, domani verrò al parco con te, perché anche lui sarà lì. Se lui non venisse al parco con me, io potrei dire: ciao Marco, domani non posso, io andrò al parco con mia moglie, andrò al parco, ti vuoi unire a noi? Io andrò al parco con mia moglie domani. E io userò qui andare, mi andrò al parco, perché non ci sarebbe questo mio amico. Se invece è un mio amico che ci sarà presente, gli dirò, va bene, verrò al parco con te, ok? Cominci a capire un po' la differenza tra andare e venire. Anche legato ad andare e venire ci sarebbero tantissime cose che poi si possono dire legato alle preposizioni dollari, eccetera, ma non voglio complicare più del necessario l'argomento.